knows your thoughts. On a lofty mountain peak, he's there. In a meadow by a stream, he's there. Anywhere on earth you go, he's been there from the start. Find the answer in his word, it's true. You'll be strong because you walk with you. By his faithfulness he'll lead you to God answers prayer.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Pray, Father, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We pray that you would give us a really good day in your house today, Lord. We've got some folks coming that have said that they will come, and Lord, I pray that they would come this morning and that they would hear the gospel, Lord, and that they might turn to you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our people as they travel, that you would give safety. Some of them are coming distances. We ask that you'd provide safety on the roads. We ask for those that are of our group, Lord, our church family that are on holidays right now or visiting family. We just ask that you'd give them a really blessed time today and good day in the church that they will be attending. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll sing the obedience song. It's in two sharps.
What does it mean to obey? What does it mean to obey? To obey is to follow our Lord's command and to do his perfect will. Some boys may play the rebel's role. Some girls may selfishly take control. Some resist their parents and their teachers today, and they follow in a foolish way. We must always trust and obey our Lord. We must always follow his holy word. We must yield to our parents and our teachers today, and we'll follow in the wisest way.
And a memory verse here. We'll say it together. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Romans 13:1. Okay. We'll sing Take My Life and Let It Be. It's hymn 393 in the hymn book. Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thine.
thou art a wonderful God.
Thou art a wonderful God, thou art a wonderful God. Thou madest the mountains, thou madest the seas, thou madest the songbirds that fly over me. Thou art a wonderful God, thou art a wonderful God. Thou madest the night times, thou madest the day, thou causest my tongue to keep singing thy praise. Thou art a wonderful God, thou art a wonderful God. Thou madest all men, and they've broken thy laws. Thou sendest thy Son to redeem us, because thou art a wonderful God. Thou art a wonderful God. Oh, cause us to set lights on story and then look to the sky for his coming again. Thou art a wonderful God, thou art a wonderful God.
And then a verse here, we got Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Isaiah 25:1. God, happiness is the Lord.
Happiness is know the Savior living alive within his favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me in close relation, having a part in his salvation. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if the teardrops start. I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth a living, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord.
Now I've got a song, probably might need to do a cappella, unless Mrs. Vall can do it by ear. And that is, Oh Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say, or tongue. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. Oh, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little heart, whom you trust.
Well, I think we have to have an anatomy lesson there. Some of the guys are pointing at their stomach. Is that where their heart is? In the food? But, you know, that's a good psalm because it reminds us that God is looking down. He's looking down in love, but he's watching us to make sure that we're not doing the wrong things. Because if we fall into sin, he wants to change our direction, our course. And he will convict us. And if we don't respond to his convicting, then he'll chasten us. We got to be so careful what we allow our eyes to see, what we allow our ears to hear. And you know, that's not just things like bad music. That's things like listening to somebody swear, listening to somebody saying some bad things about somebody, some gossip. That's listening to somebody saying, talking about some filthy things. We are to leave, to walk away. Then we sang about our hands, what we do. We got to be careful with these hands, what we allow them to do. Don't let them steal our friends' toys or our brothers' or sisters' toys. Don't let them hit somebody. Be careful with those hands. Be careful with our feet. Where do we let them take us? Don't want to let them take us into bad places. And then our heart. I missed over the lips. What we say, isn't that? I mean, the book of James tells us if we can bridle our tongue, we are a perfect person. And that word perfect means spiritually mature. And our tongue is the hardest thing to control sometimes. We say things we shouldn't say. We hurt people with our words. And then our heart, whom we trust. We gotta put our complete trust in God, and not put our faith or confidence in anybody else. Well, you understand what I'm saying. We don't trust the evildoers. We put our confidence in the Lord Jesus. Okay, well, we'll end our songs with that. And Mrs. Vall, are you gonna do Sunday school then? Okay. Just our children right now, so they'll be going. It's your choice. Okay. Well, we're gonna. Okay. Okay. So we'll just hold off on that then. Okay. Okay. Well, let's get myself settled here. Well, I went to the men's retreat in Hope, had a really good time. Good time of fellowship, heard some good preaching. Pastor Alfieri was the preacher. I'm just putting everything to silent here so nothing goes off. We heard some good messages, got to fellowship with some believers and just really had a rejuvenating time, a relaxing time, and got to spend some time with Patrick, who some of you will remember. He had come through here a year ago and having some real challenges, some real difficulties, and he got saved, and he's down on the coast right now, and he's doing fairly well, doing really quite well, working on redirecting him to independent Baptist church down there that is really good, really sound. But he's been clean now for almost a year. In April it'll be a year, so he's back in his right mind, you might say, as we think of the man of the Gadarenes. Same sort of concept. But it's good to spend some time with him, and it was encouraging. Well, this morning I'm going to. I didn't have a great deal of time this week to do preparations as we were down there. But I'm going to go over an outline that my father-in-law preached a Wednesday night when I was over there in Alberta, and it is based out of Ephesians chapter 4. Let's take a look there at Ephesians chapter 4. I borrow some of his material. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. We'll stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. The title of this study is Endeavoring to Keep the Unity of the Spirit in the Bond of Peace. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So this is the area of keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, Lord, that you would put your hand on this day here in your house, Lord, that we would be encouraged in many different ways as we dig into your word, as we read scripture passages. Lord, may your word come alive to us. Lord, if we have spiritual cares or woes or heartaches or things that are disappointing us, Or pressures or things that are coming up this week, Lord, we ask that you would help us to lay those at the door. And Lord, that we would come here into your house looking for a message from you. Lord, that we would get something both here in the Sunday school but also in the morning worship service. Again, we ask that you be with those that are coming. We ask that you give them safety in the roads. Lord, I think of these two that have said they will come. I just pray that they would come. Lord, they need to hear the gospel, and I just pray that they would be here this morning during the morning worship. And Lord, we ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. So the area we're looking at this morning is unity within the local church. Unity is extremely important in the local church. It is not just optional. I thank the Lord that I believe we have a very good unified spirit here. But we see in Scripture, and we know historically, we know in other churches, sometimes there will be periods, and even our own church, there have been times in the past where there have been some areas of conflict, and. Likely there will be in the future as well, and we just have to learn how to deal with them and to understand some core principles about the imperative command to have unity within the body of believers. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 11. First Corinthians 1, 10 through 11. Oh, excuse me a second here, I'm in the wrong chapter. Here we go. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Perfectly joined. So notice there, first of all, in verse 10, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same. It is God's desire that we all speak the same thing. Now, it doesn't mean that we're clones of each other. It doesn't mean that we're all at the same place, that we've all come to the same convictions. It's not that we've all come to the exact same beliefs. There are areas that we believe are areas of soul liberty, where God can, where good brethren can differ. You know, I recently was called up by a Bible college, and they asked if they could come in and tell us about their Bible college and also sing for us. And I asked them to, if they could give me, send me some music or links to where their music is online so I could listen to their music. And their music wasn't evil. It wasn't wrong, but it's not a music that we listen to. And it's one of those areas where sometimes it's clear, yes, that music is not godly. It's worldly. And then there's those times where it's like, you know what? We believe that style of music doesn't best please the Lord, but it's still kind of open up to soul liberty. It's open. Each Christian has to come to a understanding. And so, you know, as I was talking to this college and listened to the music and then got back to them, I just said, you know what, I believe this is a matter of soul liberty. It's not a style of music that we use in our church and would really appreciate. But at the same time, I believe it is a matter of that good brethren can differ on, and that we can have that soul liberty. Within the church, we aim to speak the same, we aim the same thing, to have the, even though there's these areas of soul liberty where we might have some differences, but on the main things where it's clear in Scripture, we are to speak the same thing. We're not to have divisions. And it clearly says this in this passage, that there be no divisions among you. Divisions. How many have you ever split wood before? Yeah? Some of you split wood before? And how many of you ever used a wedge, one of those wedges that you can use? You go in there and you smack it with your splitting axe or your splitting maul, and you got a bit of a crack going. And then you go and get that wedge and you put it in that crack. And then what you can do is you can turn around your splitting maul, which usually has a kind of a hammer end on the other side of it, and then you can put that wedge into that division, and you can smash it down in there and split it apart. And when we look at the whole area of divisions among us, what Satan likes to do is he likes to get the crack going. Then he likes to put a wedge in there. And then he likes to tap the wedge, get that splitting further and further apart. So here in our text, 1 Corinthians 1, 10 and 11, we see that believers in the church are to speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. And then you notice, but that ye be perfectly joined together. Perfectly joined together. I think of a piece of chainmail. You know, you've got all these things that kind of look like, in some cases, they look like fish scales. And on the inside, they have those little leather straps that hold all those things together. And they can move, and the chainmail kind of shifts position. But they don't fall off. They move as that soldier moves. We're supposed to be perfectly joined together. I mean, you could even think of the scales on a fish, perfectly joined together. And that's what God wants in his house, in that local assembly, is that they are perfectly joined together. You know, some years back we had some folks that were good folks, but they were not on the same page with many of the core beliefs of our church. And you know, at some point in time, they had to make a decision to move on. And we are supposed to be unified. We're supposed to be joined together. There's no divisions. We're supposed to be cohesive. And I mentioned earlier, I thank the Lord that we have that. But it's good to look at some of these verses so that we, when troubles come in, when there's maybe a source of division, that we are careful to not give it any space. Perfectly joined together in the same mind. We're supposed to have the same mind. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we're not going to have the exact same interpretation in every passage. We're not going to have exactly the same standards, way of living. But and some of those areas are areas of soul liberty where we can choose what we believe is right for our individual homes. But as pertains to things that are clear in Scripture, we are to have the same mind. We're not supposed to be on different pages. I mentioned a while ago how I had spent some time talking to another pastor here on a flight, and just how in their church they kind of, so to avoid having divisions, they just basically said, you can believe whatever you want, even on core doctrines, even on things like the creation of the world, various different things like that, how you interpret Scripture, whether literally or symbolic. But whereas we see that it may put off division, but it won't keep a church from having division. We are to be of the same mind and in the same judgment. We're to make the same judgment calls. We're supposed to make the same decisions. I came across an interesting... there was apparently in a church bulletin, the sermon title was, "What is it like in hell?" And then directly underneath that, there was the announcements. And it announced that there was going to be a business meeting right after the service. And the proximity of the two seemed to be kind of a little funny, you know? What's it like in hell, being in a business meeting? Some churches, it is that way. And I thank the Lord that's not the case in our business meetings. We have the same mind. We have the same judgments. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:25, we read, "That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." And in the previous verse, to give context, we see, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together." He put it together, tempered it, "having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body." The word schism means split, gap, division. And so it's God's will that there be no division, no gap within the local church. Think back to Mark chapter 3, verse 25. The Pharisees they are saying that, scribes are saying that Jesus is casting out the devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So they're saying that he uses Satan to cast out devils. And in Mark 3:25 we read, let's read verse 23 to 25. And he called unto them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And that's how he destroys churches. He has learned by experience that if he, and he still does it, of course, but if he persecutes a church from the outside, that it typically will make it stronger as the believers are assaulted by whatever way that he does that. So his plan is to do it from the inside. You know, he gets people angered about different things, and you know, for instance, it might be the color of the carpet. And you know, there have been church splits over things like the color of the carpet. There have been church splits over which side the organ is on. Can you imagine? Or which side the piano is on? Can you imagine a church split about that? I mean, to tell you the truth, I don't really care for our color scheme here. You know, one day it would be nice to update it. But you know what? It does not matter. It makes no difference. It is not worth any division whatsoever. House is not if it's divided against itself, that house cannot stand, not to be divided. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Read a verse here that has that word conversation in it, and again remembering that conversation is verbal communication and way of life. It can mean both. So only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're to strive together with one mind, one spirit. And we're looking towards the goal. We're striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're working together for the promotion of the gospel, for the furtherance of the gospel. Our purpose, every one of us, needs to be, how can we win souls? How can we see people saved? How can we see people discipled who are new Christians? So it's for the furtherance of the gospel. That is what we're supposed to be doing, together, striving together. We're not to turn inward on each other and be like ravenous wolves, but instead we're to be of one mind, one spirit, pushing towards the furtherance of the gospel. Take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Here we see the early church in one accord, one heart, one soul. Acts 2:46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they were in one accord. Give me a second here. I'll look up that word, accord. Give you the Strong's definition of it. It means unanimously. Unanimously. So he's saying, let us be unanimous together, joined together. Take a look at Psalms 133. Here we see the blessings that come when brethren are together in unity. And you know, when brethren are unified, it does so many things. It increases the furtherance of the gospel. I mean, if brethren are fighting, they're expending time and resources. Time is so valuable. They're expending that time to fight. They are also there's a bitter feeling within that local body where two people can't work together. You know, if you've got two brethren that are fighting, and it's time to go on visitation, those two brethren are going to go on visitation. Are they, you know, how are they going to do? How are they going to make out? Likely not well if they were paired together. But you think also of the testimony, the lost. They say, "Oh wow, look at those guys," you know. You can hear them arguing. You can see them arguing. You can see the faces they pull at each other. Psalms 133, 1 through 3. Behold, how good and pleasant, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So the blessings and beauty of brethren dwelling together in unity. We also see that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Take a look now back in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now notice our part. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us that ministry. We are to be peacemakers. We're supposed to reconcile people. And of course, we know that this doesn't mean that you just simplify you simplify doctrine down to say, well, you know, the only thing that's really important is salvation. You know, some people will try to do that in order to have this unity. And that's just a mess when you do that. No, you've got every body has to have that those essential core beliefs that are held to. Again, allowing for areas of soul liberty where the scriptures may not be completely dogmatic on them. But again, remembering that you've got to be cautious about that. Sometimes people will say, well, salvation is the only essential thing. So we clarify that. So God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He wants us to be peacemakers. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Live in peace. We're supposed to be peacemakers. We're supposed to live in peace. Peace does not come spontaneously. Peace must come with an actual determination to be peaceful, to be peacemakers. Now, let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:13. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. We'll read verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. So we are to live at in peace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. This all goes back to the scripture where, you know, the scripture says that great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. I don't have right to be offended, nor do you. We can be righteously offended in the sense that we're offended for God. But usually when people try to claim that, you know, righteous indignation usually has something to do with their feelings being hurt. We're not to be offended. Hebrews 12, 14, follow peace with all men, holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. To follow peace. Take a look at James chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I'll pause there for a moment. Remember I said that peace doesn't just come by itself. We have to follow after it. Now notice here in verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them which make peace. Fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them which make peace. We have to make peace. We have to sow righteousness in peace. It's a purposeful thing that we must do. We must have that in the back of our minds all the time. Okay, I'm going to be careful about how I say this to this brother or to this sister. I'm going to be careful how I treat this brother, this sister, because I want to ensure that they know that I want peace. I am pursuing peace. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Beatitudes here. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. God blesses us for being peacemakers. Take a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Read 17 and 18, Romans 12, 17 and 18. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as is possible, live peaceably with all men. Yes, we recognize that there will be times where we have to contend for the faith. And we aim to do it in love, but we still have to stand strong. And so there are times when we cannot live peaceably because we have to contend for the faith. We have to mark those that are without, those that cause divisions. But as much as is possible, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 14 through verse 19. And you know, honestly, I have seen many people in the past that it does not matter what the cause is. You can tell that they are seeking for division, that they have a chip on their shoulder, or for some reason, maybe it's a pride thing, where they have pride in their scholarship, but they are trying to find some fault. They're trying to find something that they can fight you on. And, you know, that's where we try to show them the love of Christ. And at times we have to take action to end that. But we still try not to become offended. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Remember I mentioned earlier? It doesn't just come spontaneously. We have to purpose to have peace. So we have to follow after the things which make for peace. You know, our church covenant, it speaks about we further engage to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rule of the Savior to secure it without delay. So we want to be slow to take offense, and maybe not even take offense at all, but always ready for reconciliation, always ready to make peace with our brethren. I'll have to do a study on the things that make for peace. Actually, look in Scripture and try to itemize what things make for peace. Okay, well, let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to always be mindful of this command to live peaceably with each other. And Lord, I thank you for the unity that we have here, for the love that we have, for the family atmosphere, families within a family at our church. We thank you for it. Lord, we ask that you would protect us from division, from schisms, Lord, from those cracks that Satan would like to exploit, the little wedge he'd like to slip in, start hammering to break apart the love and unity of the brethren. We pray that we would be committed to it and that we would do those things that make for peace. Lord, we ask that you'd be with us as we go into our morning worship service here, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that we would be with any that are still driving here, that give them safety on the roads. We have a good turnout this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.